All right, guys. Well, it's great to see y'all again. I'm super excited to be back with y'all. I think this one cup will be able to do me tonight. I think we're it might be a little less emotional tonight like last week was, but no guarantees ever with me. But yeah, like I say, really excited to see a lot of y'all back here tonight just to talk about something that honestly, I guess, doesn't get talked about a lot, but there's a lot to say in the Bible about finances. So here we go. Is it up? All right. So, last 2 weeks ago, this week and next week is going to be kind of the sessions on finance. And just wanted to kind of review. I know maybe some of y'all weren't here, so wanted to quickly review what we went over last week before we get into the more practical stuff tonight. So, 2 weeks ago, we looked at overview of biblical principles. Tonight, we're just going to look at some practical topics that I think is going to be really helpful for your life, if not now, in the future. And then same thing next week, practical topics. So last week, we looked at planning for treasures in heaven. That's kind of what I coined the next 3 weeks, or last 2 weeks ago and the next 2 weeks. Planning for treasures in heaven, and we looked at the text from Matthew 6, 19 through 21. And again, I'm just going to walk through it with you real quick. We looked at 19 through 21, 19 and 20 basically gave us two options, or Jesus gave us two options, storing up treasures on earth, or storing up treasures in heaven. Here comes my four-year-old teacher out. We got the X over the treasures in heaven, right? Jesus said, don't store up treasures in heaven. And then he said, don't store up treasures on earth. But he said, do store up treasures in heaven. You guys don't be afraid to correct me. And then the last verse that I thought was really awesome, you know, it's one of those things where Jesus is teaching this lesson and he comes out and just says these words that are like for the ages, right? He used just a couple of Aramaic words to basically what it does for me is it humbles me, it encourages me, and golly, it gives me hope, right? All just in a couple words like only he can do. And he said, where your treasure is, there your heart. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Barry, quit smiling at me, man. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And let's see what I had on my slide here. So treasures on earth, we talked about as like a heart just focused on earthly things, right? Being selfish, only thinking about yourself, and really only thinking about the present, right? Not thinking about the future. Treasures in heaven, on the other hand, is wealth that you give towards the furthering of God's kingdom. And those things, Jesus says, last forever, right? Here's my favorite part. We got the heart, and it's going towards the money. So where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so that's kind of a quick review of last week before we get into the practical. But before we do, I want to read something, because as I thought about the practical, it's like I said last week or 2 weeks ago, it's really easy to kind of forget this foundational things when we just start talking about like totally practical things like budgeting and taxes and stuff like that. It's kind of easy to forget this foundational point. So I do want to read something I found in one of the commentaries I read, and it came from a man by the name of David Martin Lloyd-Jones, and he compares the Christian life to playing music. He says, a person may play Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata accurately and without a single mistake, yet not really play what the composer had in mind. Even though the notes are played correctly, they do not produce the sonata. The pianist may mechanically strike the right notes at the right time, yet miss the essence, the soul of the composition. He may not at all express what Beethoven meant to be expressed. The true artist must play the right notes at the right time. He is not exempt from the rules and principles of music, but accurate playing is not what makes him a great musician. It is his expression of what lies behind the notes that enthralls his listeners. In the same way, faithful Christians are concerned about the letter of God's law, but beyond that, they're also concerned about the spirit, the deeper will and purpose that lie behind the letter. That concern reveals an obedient heart filled with the desire to glorify the Lord. To claim to follow the Spirit without obeying the letter is to be a liar. To follow the letter without following the Spirit is to be a hypocrite. To follow the Spirit in the right attitude and the letter in the right action is to be a faithful child of God and a loyal subject of the King. So, you can't just hit the notes, right? You can't just you can go spend all your money, right? And you could be lost as ever, and that didn't do you anything, right? You could budget to the penny, right? And if you don't know Jesus Christ, it means nothing. You're going to do great on earth, right? But nothing for the future. So that leads me to my next slide. Oh man, I did that early. It's okay. Step one, right? Repent and believe. I said this 2 weeks ago too, but I just want to nail it home. You don't have an account in heaven if you haven't repented and believed in Jesus Christ. I want to read this Proverbs to you that I really like. A lot of the verses are coming from Proverbs tonight. It's kind of like 2 weeks ago. We're not going to turn to everyone. You're welcome to, but you don't have to feel like you turn to everyone because I've got it here. Proverbs 1:24-29 says this, "Because I called you and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention, and you neglected all my counsel and did not want my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord." So, sober warning there, right? If we don't listen to what God has to say, it doesn't go well for us. And please, if you have not repented and believed in Jesus and you're hearing this, do that first step, right? Nothing else past this matters more than that. So there we go. That's a quick review last week. Let's look at what we're going to talk about tonight. By the way, how many have a guess at how many emails I got? We got to be quick. Dylan knows. 35? Anybody? Anybody? 35? 40? 40? 45? 45? How many? 5? I got a big fat 0. So I had to fill this in all by myself, right? So you have, Dylan really wants me to tell y'all that I'm going to extend the deadline. Okay? Even though I've made the next 2 weeks, I just did it all, right? If you have a question, I'm giving you till this Friday at end of day. Huh? Yeah. So you have till end of day this Friday, but just know I have to change up what I've already done. Okay. So when you send it to me, just know that. All right. It's okay. I would love to do it. If you have a desire to learn something, I'm here for it. Okay. So tonight we're going to talk about working/labor. We're also going to talk about a little more about giving, talk about budgeting. We're going to talk about your payroll check. Income taxes. See, it's a lot less spiritual tonight. Don't forget the first part. We're going to talk about debt. And I have like a sub-bullet, credit card versus debit card. I think maybe some of y'all wonder about that. I don't know because he didn't email me, right? saving and investing. It's a good one. Supply and demand, one of my favorites. Cars, homes, and insurance. All right. If you don't want to hear some of those, you know what to do, right? Send me an email before Friday. We can knock some of those off. The last ones we'll knock off. All right, so we got 4 dad jokes in the next 2 weeks. I'm wanting to give this book away. It's one of my favorite books about biblical finance. It's by John MacArthur. It's called Whose Money Is It Anyway? I basically could have just read it to you 2 weeks ago, and it's a pretty similar message, right? But it's a really good book, and I'd love to give it to y'all, but you have to get all the dad jokes right, 4 of them. It's going to be pretty hard. So, and I'm going to honor system, so if there's a tie, we're going to do something, right? Okay, so here's the first one. Where can you find money every time you look for it? Don't blurt it out, right? Write it down. I'll tell you the answer in 5 seconds. All right, time's up. Anybody? Anybody want to guess? Dictionary. Pretty funny, right? All right. So let's get to working and labor, okay? So I do have a lot of verses on this one. I'm only going to touch on like a couple, but I do have those if you want to go back later and read those. But why don't we go ahead and turn to Proverbs, because a lot of these verses are going to be for Proverbs. My wife, excellent wife, helped me put these in somewhat of an order. So we thought, working, you have to work first, and then we'll go from there. So just a couple of things that you see in the Bible to help you understand just the idea of working. Let's go to Proverbs 14:23. If you're alive and breathing, you've probably gone through the thought process of, man, what is the least amount of work I can do for the most money? Right? And that's not a terrible thing, but just there are some things in Scripture that kind of corral that thought process a little bit. So this is one of them, 14:23. It says, in all labor there is profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. So just get to work, right? Get to work. It's a great way to start earning money. Don't have, you know, all these fandangled, high-flying ideas. I mean, sometimes they work, but, you know, just start working. would be what I would recommend. The other thing is the Bible doesn't talk too highly about laziness, so let's go to Proverbs 13:4, just maybe one or maybe the same page to the left, 13:4. It says, the soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the soul of the diligent is made fat. I should have probably picked a different translation, huh? How many of y'all want to be? Oh, never mind. The obvious idea there is the sluggard craves and gets nothing. He just needs to go to work instead of the soul of the diligent, right? Has plenty of food. We'll say it that way. And then last, so we talked, work diligently. Laziness is bad. Work with integrity. So Proverbs 21:6. Let's look at that one. I'll give you a couple seconds to turn there. It says, the acquisition of treasures by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor, the pursuit of death. And I'm going to read the other one to you. He who profits illicitly troubles his own house, but he who hates bribes will live. So God obviously blesses those people that are willing to work with integrity. So work diligently, throw away laziness, and do it with integrity. Okay, so we'll get to giving here. This is kind of a review last week, but I did just want to remember, kind of in an order here. So we looked at Proverbs 3, 9, 10 last week, one of my faves. Let's look at Proverbs 11, 24 through 25. It says, there is one who scatters and yet increases all the more, and there is one who withholds what is justly due and yet it results only in want. The generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered. So you just have that idea again in Scripture. It's kind of all over the place where the person that's generous will be blessed and will be used by God to just continue to be able to give. And the person that is not generous will not be prosperous. And so a lot of those verses have a very similar, so I'd encourage you to jot those down if you're interested to learn more about those. But a lot of them just talk about giving. The generous man is blessed. So real quick, just a couple of items about how to give with humility. Let's go to Matthew 6, 1 through 4. This is right back in that passage where Jesus taught, you know, 2 weeks ago's message, but it just comes before it. It basically comes before all of the other kind of acts of worship that Jesus talked about. And he said this, he said, beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. It's a very special act of worship that you have between God and yourself when you're giving something away, and you see what God says there. You receive your reward in full if you're doing it for any other reason. All you get is man's applause, basically. But God wants your heart, like we learned. So do it without people knowing, humility. And then just a couple more from 2 Corinthians 9, 6, and 7. I'll read it. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So giving to the Lord is as you have purposed in your heart. There's no minimum, there's no maximum, there's no percentage. It's as you've purposed in your heart. It's also not grudgingly. The attitude's important. You know, going back to that thing I read earlier, you're not just playing the notes, you're playing it with the emotion of a top-notch musician. So you're doing it with the right attitude, and you're also not doing it if someone's making you do it. That's what under compulsion means. And then last of all, one of the coolest parts, God has a special love for cheerful givers. That's what that verse says. God loves a cheerful giver. So we're going to get into the practical stuff. Last week I had one of the stats about living paycheck to paycheck, and that wasn't as much a knock on, you know, people that just don't have a very high income and that's what they have to do. It's more of a showing our society is just a very consumer, very high consumer society. Consumption's super important. So I'm just going to have this slide up here. You got the guy that basically gets and just, it's all gone, right? There's an empty pie, whatever you call that. What I want to encourage y'all to be is the guy that gets and he has a plan, right? He, she has a plan, and there's diversity, and there's the Holy Spirit has, what's the word I'm looking for? Holy Spirit has informed you, and you've thought through it, and you're organized and planned out. So maybe this is a good picture for y'all, just to see that empty pie, and then a pie with, you know, stuff planned out and well organized. Okay, so now here we go to the practical. Budgeting. You guys gonna stay awake for this one? Okay, so before we talk about budgeting, just an important word on consumption, which is the thing I said earlier. It's just very important to understand that we live in a society that is just constantly selling you something. Like, it's just important to know that, okay? People are constantly trying to get you to sell something, and they've thought of many different ways to do it, right? Like, this is the only day. Like, this is the last day of the sale. I mean, they get you to try to think, oh, gosh, I got to do it. You're just in a society that's constantly doing that, okay? So, sale. So let's go to Proverbs 21, and they're right next to each other, so this is a good one. Because before we get into budgeting, again, I just want us to just understand that this is happening. And the Bible actually does have something to say about the man who consumes. So Proverbs 21:20 says, there is precious treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man swallows it up. Right? It's just like that picture of the pie. It's gone. Like, it's there and it's gone. Proverbs 21:17 says, he who loves pleasure will become a poor man. He who loves wine and oil will not become rich. Now, look, I know some rich people that love those things, but the idea here is that if you're constantly thinking about ways to spend your money, it's not going to work out well generally for you. So just wanted to cover that before we get to budgeting. Oh, man, I have more. The plans of the diligent lead surely. Okay, yeah, I know where I'm going here. So budgeting is just the act or idea of making a plan, right? Like coming up with how you'd like to see your money spent. And so this is also extolled in the Bible. Proverbs 21:5 says, the plans of the diligent lead surely to advantage, right? So there's plans that this guy has made. There's thinking. But everyone who is hasty comes surely to poverty. So it's just the idea of planning. In Luke 14, Jesus talks about counting the cost of becoming a Christian. And he uses finances as a way to show that. And he basically says, there was a guy that built a tower. Wouldn't everyone look at him like a fool if he got halfway there and didn't have enough to build that tower? So Jesus is basically saying, make a plan. People that don't do that look silly, right? Okay, here we go, the practical. So this is just one example. I'm going to show you a couple of examples of budgeting. No, I don't want to do that to you. I was going to ask how many of y'all budget, but we don't have to do that. I don't want to embarrass anybody. But this is one. When I was your age, I had one that looked just like this. Okay? And this is in one of my most favorite things on earth, Excel. How many of y'all have delved into the beauties of Excel? Okay. It's amazing. It can do a lot. So basically, this is one example, and I just want to point out just a couple things before we kind of get into the nuts and bolts. For one, you got to decide what time period you're talking about. Okay, so in this one, I have a month, right? You might want to do a week if you get paid weekly. Maybe you want to just do a week. You might want to do a month like I did. You may want to do a day like someone else in this room did that doesn't want to be mentioned. It's my wife. But anyway, I did this as a month, so you got to decide how, like, what time period do you want to make sense to you, okay? The other thing I want to note here is do something that our beloved elder, Mr. Chandler, told me when I was your age. He said, build some margin in. And what that means is don't spend all your money. like have some margin built in. And that's for a lot of great reasons. Your budget rarely ever happens as the way you put it in. And usually it's because you spent more than you thought. And so it's good to have a profit in your budget. Do you guys understand that? Okay, so in this case, there's a profit built in, right? So, and then you just go through and you think about the categories of spending that you want to do. And it's not going to be the same answers for everybody, but you might want to break up eating out into special eating out, eating out with friends. It was me. I'll be honest. I did that. But you may want to break up your spending into different things. So these are just examples, but you think about them, and then you just come up with, you know, what you think is a good amount to spend during that time period. And then you have your budget. Okay, so but you're not done, because now comes what I think is kind of a powerful and interesting part. It's when you start putting in your transactions. So I had this Excel spreadsheet on my laptop or computer in college, and it was pretty easy to open up. And every time I spent something, I would just go plug it in, right? I'd plug it in below. And what I think is, like I said, it's kind of crazy is you just start seeing some of the stuff you spend and you realize, wow, that's a pretty big portion. Like, you know, if I compare that to this, it seems kind of big, right? And so that's one of the benefits of this is you just kind of may start changing some of your behaviors maybe. But anyway, at the end of the month, then you get to see how you did, right? I have one funny example. Whenever we were newlyweds, I was doing something like this, and I was looking at the grocery, and I loved apple juice, right? Loved the operative. Do you guys hear that D at the end? I loved apple juice until I started seeing how much apple juice was. And I said, Ashley, let's stop buying apple juice. I can just drink water. Because it was just very interesting to see. It was like $7 for this thing, and it was like, that's a lot. Like, I don't need that, you know? So you kind of do those things as you start just punching them in. And there's something, you know, there's like a debate about like some of these things that just bring your costs in. Like, that's really convenient. But it's also nice to like punch it in, right? And be like, a little bit of pain there to put this one in, you know, versus just pulling in. But so that is one example. Does anyone have any questions about that? Does anyone know how to do conditional formatting and make it red and green like that? I can teach you. Yes, sir.
I know different apps will like try to like connect with different services. Mm-hmm. Like, does this for you? What is your opinion on those? Like, would you prefer to like manually put it in, like with your receipt or something? Or like, what is your thoughts on using?
I got a lot of thoughts on that. We don't have enough time, unfortunately. No. A couple thoughts. I liked punching it in for the reasons I said. I liked punching it in. I like Excel. I think it's free, right? I don't know how you pay for Excel, but it's pretty much on all y'all's computers, right? So it's basically free. I don't know how it's paid for, but it's free, I'll just say. So I like that. I've thought a lot about this, actually. And so like you might have to pay for some of those apps. So obviously I don't like that. What else have I thought about on that topic?
Every dollar is free.
Dave Ramsey, yeah. So yeah, there are some free ones. Oh yeah, the other thing, a con to this one, look, I'll be fair. I don't like the idea that you might miss a transaction. So that's one of the things I do like about the things that pull all your stuff in. Because this one, you know, you got to reconcile it. You got to make sure you're putting it all in. Because if you don't, you're missing some stuff, you know? I don't know if that helped you. Those are just kind of some pros and cons. I appreciate the question. But yeah, when I was in college, I definitely liked this way. I think as I've gotten older, I've kind of changed my tune a little bit. I think there's just more transactions flowing in, so it's just more typing in. So I think I have kind of gone to the automatic pull-in, and then I do feel good about them all being there. But I tried a $90 per year one, and I don't like it, and I really don't like that I paid 90 bucks for something I don't like. But it drives me crazy. Okay, good question. So this is another one. This is another example. And I'm just throwing out examples for y'all just to get your juices flowing, right? You may think of something different from what I showed you. This is one that I was really happy my wife did this when she was in college. And she wants you to know that this was done many years ago. The dollars aren't quite the same as today's dollars. That's called inflation. We're not covering that. You can ask me about inflation afterwards. But some of these dollars look a little small. That's why. So what this one is it's like a daily plus or minus. It's like you know how much money you're going to get. In this case, $300. And so you basically attribute that much to every day. So $10 a day, right? And then you just keep a tally of your plus minus, right? So you start off day one with plus 10. Then you get to day two, you got 20. Then you get to day three, oh, you spent $15. Do you guys see that? Okay. Might be a good one for you. I really liked I liked that she did it. It's a different way of looking at it. And then you get to the end of the month and you just, or all the time, you know kind of where you are, like plus minus, you know? And then you get to the end of the month and there's your plus minus. Did you carry it forward? She doesn't want to talk. So those are two examples, but I would just highly encourage you to do budgeting in some form or fashion. And so, Mr. Segovia, we're going to get to your slide here. Here's just a couple of other options. Excel, I said my fave. I do also want to offer, Brandon, I didn't talk to you about this. If y'all are interested in Excel, I would love to teach just basics. So I don't know if we can set another thing up. Probably not Wednesday night, but something. I would be happy to teach if we want to get together on that. But yeah, I like Excel. There's another one called You Need a Budget. A couple of my friends have used and they seem to like it. Copilot's the one I spent money on. And yeah. Monarch is one I looked at when I was looking at Copilot. That one looked kind of cool. You can do handwritten. You know, paper and pencil, get your calculator out. Or iOS numbers, don't overlook that one. Your iPhone, I think that one's free too, right? It's just an app on your phone, numbers. Have y'all seen numbers on your iPhone? You can totally make something just like that on your phone, and that way you can have it wherever you are, right? We do that actually now. We have projects at our house, and we put the budget in, and we track our spending, and we see how we're doing on that. So that's also a good one. It is a lot. It's basically like Excel. So you can have things tie into each other and all the formulas are working. So that's just another option. But like I said, encourage y'all to think about a good way to do that and for you just to try it. All right. So you have your stuff budgeted out. You're ready. Now you're going to go to work like we talked about from Proverbs. We're going to focus on probably most people get a job, right? There's some of you entrepreneurial people that are amazing to me. This one's more for the people that are just going to get a job and getting a check, okay? It's probably most of us. I do have a little bit to say to the entrepreneurs in the crowd, though, at the end of this section. Okay, so when you get a job, the employer is going to want you to fill out this piece of paper. It's called the W-4. Are y'all familiar with W-4? Okay. So W-4, it's important that you give that to them pretty quickly. Like, they're going to probably want it, like, the day you come in because they need it for your first paycheck. Okay? So that's important. With the W-4, you just need to fill out your name, your Social Security number, address, and then you do have some, like, numbers to fill out. They've actually changed the W-4 since I was a kid, so I'm really not the best person to walk you through how to fill out the W-4. So I have in my notes here to ask your human resources person at work, or like if you have a parent that can help you, or an accountant friend that can help you. But you need to fill it out pretty quickly because they need it for your first paycheck. So that's the W-4. Now we're going to go through what a payroll check looks like. And I hope this helps some of y'all. I just figured some of y'all need to know this. Because again, no email. All right, so when you have a payroll check, and all payroll checks will probably look different, right? Like this is just one, it's one example. And so you're going to see a earnings part of your payroll check. And that is going to show you how much, like let's say you're an hourly wage. It's going to show you what your hourly wage rate is, and then it's going to tell you how many hours you worked, and then it's going to do the math, hopefully, and it'll t- tell you how much gross wages you made. Gross wages means before stuff's taken out. Okay? Gross. That's what it's called. One thing I wanted to say is if you are an hourly worker, just be aware that if you work more than 40 hours in a week and you're a citizen of Texas, which most of you probably are, or no, you're working in Texas, okay? They have to pay you time and a half if you work more than 40 hours in a week, okay? So the reason why I'm telling you some of this stuff is because not everybody knows, like some businesses just may not be aware of this, and you should be aware of it because you should kindly tell them, you owe me time and a half if I work more than 40 hours a week. Right, Claire? So that's just one rule I wanted to say. But yeah, the earnings on your paycheck, that's where you look for that. So you got a rate, you got an hours, and then you have the multiplication to get you to your gross wages. Now we're going to look at what's called deductions. All right? So the first red circle, it'll be called something like federal withholding. You might see it called FIT or something like that. And this, it could be confusing, but I'm going to risk it, okay? This number is not like a guaranteed percentage of your wages. It is based on that W-4 that you turned in that I talked about two slides ago. It's going to be different based on what you filled out on that W-4. So I want you to understand that, and I hope that doesn't confuse us. Because I'm going to go over taxes in just a second and hope maybe that'll make it clear, but tax is still hard. It's just annoyingly hard and confusing. But that first line is just federal withholding. And one other thing about a W-4, hold on, Barry. One other thing about a W-4, you can give one to the HR department every day. You can walk in and go, here's my W-4. They're going to hate you, but that's overboard, but you can fill out a new W-4 next week if you want. Okay? Isn't that crazy? You can do it. You can do that. Because you can get your first check and you can go, whoa, that's weird. I don't know. You can't take my whole check away. What did I do wrong? Oh, here's another W-4. It's corrected now. Yes, Barry? Mm-hmm. I just was looking at that the other day. That's really funny. Barry, I don't want to deceive everyone in here. I think what it said was it doesn't count towards your wages. So if you work 34 hours and then you take a Friday off and that counts as 8 vacation, no overtime. Pretty sure that's right. Thanks for the question, though. The things you got to think about. All right, so that's the first line, federal withholding. We're going to talk about it more in just a couple slides. It's going to be real fun, all right? Next line is Social Security. This one is a direct rate from your wages. It is 6.2% of your wages, and it's going to get deducted from your check. And what this is designed to do is it's to pay you when you're older, if there's money there, because it's going to the government. It's not a political speech here, but it is going to some funnels or, what's the word I'm looking for? Black hole. Yeah, it's going somewhere like that. And the idea is that you're going to have it when you get older, but, not a political speech. So next one is very similar to that. It's called Medicare, and it's a straight percentage, 1.45%. taken out of your gross, 1.45 of your gross wages, and this is designed to help take care of your medical expenses when you're older as well. Those are the three main ones. What I want to say is you might be at a company where maybe there's two or three more, and if you don't understand them or don't know what they are, I would just kindly go ask your human resources department, like, what is that? And then you have to think to yourself, do I want that? And I'm quite certain you'd be able to opt out of it if it's not one of these three. You should just ask and you have to decide if you want it. But those are the three main ones that you should see. All right, so once you get to your gross wages, you get your deductions, and then you get to your net pay. So there's gross and there's net. So gross is before anything's taken out. Net is after everything's taken out. And this is the amount that you're actually going to get a check for, or you're going to get direct deposit into your bank. I wanted to quickly talk about direct deposit. I've been doing that my whole life, never had a problem. So if you're gun shy on that, it's fine. Like, you should be able to get a paper check, but direct deposit makes it really easy. It just goes into your bank and you don't have to go to the bank and deposit a check. All right. Oh, there we go. I said it. Okay. Okay. So that's payroll. Does anyone have questions about your payroll check? See, not too emotional. I might get emotional about income taxes. I'm just warning you. All right. So this is income taxes. First, let's look at what the Bible has to say about it. Everyone turn to Romans 13. Because I know what some of y'all are thinking. You're thinking, I don't want to pay no taxes. It says this in Romans 13, 1. Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. And then skipping down to 6. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Render to all what is due them, tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Pretty clear, right? Pay your taxes, says the Bible. All right, so now we got some vocab words to talk about for taxes. Now, these are a little funny because you may hear different words. These are the words that I think make sense. Tax liability is what you owe the federal government based on what happened last year, what you spent money on, what you got money for. They're going to come down to a number, and then you're going to owe that tax. That's called your tax liability, okay? Then you have tax withholdings. That is the summation of all those first, remember that first deduction we looked at? The summation of all those for the year. What was withheld from your paycheck? There is a situation where you'll have a tax refund, maybe, and that means your tax withholdings for the year. It's always a calendar year with taxes. We're talking calendar year. Your withholdings for that calendar year were higher than your tax liability, like what you owed. So that's called the refund. The government will send you that money back. It's called the tax refund. The other side is tax owed. That's whenever you don't withhold enough and you owe more than you had withheld, so you're going to have to write that check to the government. And then there's a tax return. Tax return's a document telling the federal government how much money you made, other things that are on there, and then it's due to the federal government by April 15th of the following year. Okay, so what I'm about to show you is how taxes generally work, basically speaking, but they're different for everybody, okay? It's not like a formula. So there's people that make a lot of money advising people on how to do their taxes so that they have a lower tax liability. My point is like covering this in 10 minutes is kind of funny to me, but I'm going to try, but it's just going to be really basic in general. And Brandon's looking at his watch. The main point I want everyone to understand is the federal government wants to tax your income. Okay, that's why they call it income tax. The federal government has to think, we need money. How do we get money? Well, we'll tax their income. So there's a tax on your income. Income tax, right? I don't know how many of you have ever thought about that, but I just thought about it making this. Income tax. As you make more money here in America, you get taxed more. Okay? All right, here's the example. This is, again, generally speaking, how taxes work. The first thing that happens is you're going to talk about what year you're talking about. Because remember, it's a calendar year. So in this case, it's 2024, Jan 1 through December 31st, 2024. The other big thing is you have options as like what your status is. You can be a single person. You can be a married person filing jointly. You can be married filing separately. You can be a head of household. You can be one more. And you got to decide which one you are, but obviously there's not a lot of deciding if you're a single college kid. You're going to be single. And that's how that works. So next, on your tax return, There's going to be a section for income, and that's basically just how much money you earned. And so I'm put, for this example, $50,000. And then they let, there's, you know, some different things you can take off of the income, but I didn't put any of those on there, and it basically gets you down to adjusted gross income. And that's like an important number for taxes. It's AGI. People say AGI, adjusted gross income. That's like a special number for your tax return. So you get to AGI, and then the government allows what they call deductions. And so that's like, I'll just give you some easy examples, like charity is one that they let you lower your tax burden for money you give to a charity. Or like if you get a house at some point, like the interest on your mortgage payment is also deductible. So it lowers your tax liability. But the government does just give what they call a standard deduction, which is like even if you did none of those things, they're going to give you just some off the top. So in this case, 14.6, that's actually the true number for this year for a single filer. So you're going to get deductions, and then you get to what is called total taxable income. So that's just your income minus the deductions. You get total taxable income. And then they multiply that by these tax tables. And those tax tables, I didn't want to get into it, but it really just, the more you make, the higher your tax rate is. So that is the true number for a $35,400 taxable income. The true number is $4,048 for a single filer. So you get to that amount that you owe, and then you get to the, on your tax return, you say, how much was withheld from my paychecks throughout the year? In this case, $4,500. Anyone want to try to guess on if that's a refund or an owed? I heard nobody. I heard a bunch of mumbling. I hope you said refund. That's a refund, right? Because you gave more to the government than what you actually should have, okay? And I said that correctly. More than you should have. Shame on you for getting a refund. A lot of people like getting a refund. Woo, party, let's go have a vacation. But I say, try to get that thing right. Try to nail it. Because what happens is if you give too much to the government throughout the year, you're basically just losing that from your budget. And if you just fixed your W-4, you would have had it be tighter, and you could have just had, at the end of the year, I owe the government $5. You know, it's kind of the goal. That's right. Interest-free loan if you're doing that. So I will just caution you, you can't say zero. You can't go to your HR department and be like, don't withhold anything, I'll figure it out. Like, there's actually penalties for you if you like never give anything. And I don't know what they are, if you're going to ask that, Barry. But you can't just give nothing, because of course I've thought of that. Like, I'm just going to wait till the end and write them a big check, you know. You can't do that either. So you do have to somewhat try to get close. Is this fun and exciting? Well, I hope that it helps you because, yeah, I've told a couple people this in my life and it was like brand new to them. So I think your very wise leader, Brandon, is helping y'all get ready for life. So I say that in a funny way, like, is this fun? I hope it's helping you because a lot of people don't understand this. And so this is like a great head start. Yes, sir.
Can you give a 30-second summary on tax credits? Because there's a lot of government programs out there.
Okay.
They can seem like you're going to get all this money, but that might
not be. Okay. Well, you said tax credit. So usually like a tax, well, sometimes there's a refundable tax credit, which means you could actually get paid by the government. Like if you got down to your, let's say you had a $40,000 credit in this example. It would actually lower your tax liability to a asset, and the government would pay you a check. Is that where you're going? Well, there's some that do that, but then there's some that don't refund it.
So the more common thing for a lot of people in our day and age is, oh, they're offering me a federal tax credit. We're getting electronic gifts mm-hmm. for solar panels. Would I really get that money?
I don't know. I don't know. I've never tried it. But all I do know is that there's credits that are refundable, like that the government says, that's a refundable. And if you go negative on what you owe us, we will write you a check for that. And there's some that just say, not refundable. So I guess what I would say to those is you just got to be smart about it. If it's a non-refundable credit, and let's say you were going to end up at a $1,000 tax liability without that credit, and somebody sold it to you as you're going to get a $15,000 credit. Well, you're only going to get a $1,000 credit. Do you see what I mean? Because it's only going to drop you to zero. So it is important to know if it's a refundable credit or just a, I don't know what they call the other one, but non-refundable credit probably. I don't know if that totally answered where you're going, but there are, you do just need to know which one's which so you're not getting sold a bag of goods, right? Okay, so this would be a good time, right? We're here in July, and if you've been working throughout this year, you can go get your last paycheck and see if you're on track, if you're going to be over, you know, and you're going to get a refund, or if you're going to be under. Or, again, my recommendation is you try to nail it. You try to get it right on so you don't give the interest to government-free loan. And you can do that, and it really is pretty nice. Like this website, I recommend it to a lot of people. It's called the Tax Withholding Estimator, and you can just Google that. And I have to say, when I thought about this, do y'all still Google stuff? Is that already in the past? Okay, good. So I'm still with you. You can Google IRS withholding calculator estimator. I think you do have to click a couple hyperlinks and then you get to it, but you really just fill out those things that I talked to you about. So there on the screen, there's the five things. You pick whichever one you are, single, married, whatever, single. And then it just asks you like questions that you're just going to get off of your pay stub. So like for this example, I actually walked through this one. I said, I'm single. I'm claimed as a dependent on someone else's tax return, which I figured would be a lot of y'all's case because you're still with your parents. I said I was paid $26,000 through June 30th, and I expect the same. And I've withheld $2,400 through June 30th. And then so it basically just does the math for you. And it just says, okay, so that's what you told us. So you're going to have $5,100 withheld if everything stays the same. You will owe the government $4,100. So you are in a refund position. And so, like I say, it's really helpful. It tells you what to do then. Then you just scroll down the page and it says, if you want to get more take-home pay, if you want to get more take-home pay, do this. And it tells you exactly what to do on the W-4. And you can just fill it out and you just turn it into your HR department and they will correct you that withholding. Okay. All right. So I said I was going to talk a little bit about entrepreneurial type folks, because if you aren't getting a paycheck and you're just out there hustling, getting money, doing what you do, you do have to pay the government still. And they actually want you to pay a little more than your just paycheck earning friends. Isn't that sad? It's true, though. So, as a self-employed person, you are still supposed to pay federal income tax, that top one in the payroll check. You are also still supposed to pay into Social Security. You're also still supposed to pay into Medicare. And how you do that is you're supposed to pay your taxes quarterly. A lot of you, oh, never mind. I was going to say, if you didn't know this, a lot of y'all are like, why are you telling us this? Now I know this. No, but remember Romans 13? Romans 13, you're supposed to pay your taxes, so I'm just telling you what it is, all right? So you're supposed to pay quarterly. You're estimated all those three things. And that's when you're supposed to pay them by, April 15, June 15, September 15, January 15. One thing I want to mention about Social Security and Medicare, remember those two lines on the paycheck, the lower two? I said it was 6.2% out of your check and 1.45% out of your check. When you do that at an employer, like when you're just you're a paycheck earning guy, the employee actually doubles that. And you don't even know that because they pay for you to work there. It's really funny. But the employer double that and they send it to the government for you. But when you're self-employed, you have to do that yourself. So you don't just pay 6.2% for Social Security, you pay 12.4%. And then you also pay whatever 1.45 times 2 is. 2.9. You're supposed to do that. This is a good time, right? Good time, Dan, Brandon? Are you awake? Okay, here's another dad joke. Yes, sir. Oh, questions. Yeah, thank you. Questions. Okay, so a 1099 is, man, you guys are good. A A 1099 is something that a company needs to send somebody if they're working for them, not as an employee. So if you go work for, name somebody. Okay, we'll go with Arby's. First guy wins. If you go work for Arby's and they say, we just need you to fix the plumbing in here. And yeah, we just need that. They would pay you, and then they're supposed to send, and there's no taxes taken out, right? That's the important part. They don't take taxes out, nothing. They're supposed to send you a document at the end of the year saying, hey, I paid you $600, and they also send that to the government so that they know. Does that answer your question? Yeah, so if you're self-employed, or if you're, yeah, not an employee and you get 1099s, you're supposed to do what I just said, pay taxes on that. Any other questions? Yes, sir. Man, I have not much to say about that one. I've never heard that. I would say give him a call. I don't know. That sounds really hard to believe, in my opinion. But that's my opinion. Yes, sir. You guys are going to stump me, you know. Like who? Like a 12-year-old kid in your house? Yeah, you're on your parent. You don't have a job yet. You're not earning money. Yeah, you're just on your parents' tax return. Like as a parent, I have 3 kids, so I get those as like helping me on my taxes. There's more benefits than that, but they do help on your taxes. Any other questions? Yes. Yeah.
I've heard that there's a lot of things that you can write off on your taxes, whether it's like gas or like a certain square footage of your home,
mm-hmm.
office, or all these different things.
Yeah.
So how does that work
when
you're like filing?
What time am I supposed to be done? 8:03?
8:02.
Okay. So I'm going to say the really annoying thing, which is I'm not a tax attorney. But... I should have been repeating these questions. Does everyone hear the questions?
No.
Yeah. Can you say it louder? Or do you want me to repeat it? Yeah. So you were saying as a sole proprietor, which is basically like a form of business, she's heard that you can write off a bunch of stuff and that helps you on your taxes. And then she said, how does that work? And that's like a really, might take me longer, but I'm going to try. The broad answer is like if you're spending money on doing your business, yes, the government says you should get helped on your taxes for that. You can get it deducted. Now, there's a lot of rules, though, that are underlying that broad thing. But as a sole proprietor, that basically just means you're operating as yourself. And so there's legal implications to that. Like, you want to be careful about doing that because if somebody sues you because you did something bad or wrong, like, that's you. Whereas if you start a company, there's a protection there where they sue the company and you're still able to be shielded from some pain. And that's not what you asked, but I kind of added that as a bonus, but did that help you about the deductions?
Yeah. Do you need to keep receipts?
Oh yeah. That's a good thing. But like the one you mentioned about the square footage of your house, there obviously no receipt. You just have to be able to like do the math and show them I used 10% of my house. And honestly, I don't know what you can deduct off that. I don't know if you can deduct the depreciation of the house. I don't really know that one specifically. But like I say, broad answer, yes. Stuff that you use, you guys have seen the commercials, right? Like, can I deduct that? Can I deduct that? I use that. Yeah, if it's towards your business, they're pretty helpful in that regard. Good question. Anybody else? Did anybody see the dad joke? You've been thinking about it, wanting this book. So, Brandon, I'm okay to end right now, right? Okay. So we will do a dad joke. What has two banks but no money? Just hold on. Remember, this is honor system, but if you get all four, you get this book. All right, 5 seconds. Okay. Yes, sir. What is it? Yeah, River. River has two banks, no money. All right. Well, I hope this was fun. There's more fun to come. Next week, we're going to start off talking about debt. We're going to start, and then we're going to talk about investing, savings, and stuff like that. And I think I have enough to cover 2 weeks. So I don't expect to get to everything I named on the list, but maybe we will. But again, if you want to send me an email and see if it's something that I can replace with what I've already put in, I will weigh it out. Okay. But I'm happy to get your emails to see if you want to cover something. So I do have some homework for y'all. I want you to read Proverbs 22. And next Wednesday, when you talk in your small groups, it can be something y'all talk about. Talk about your favorite verse that was about money next week, all right? Proverbs 22. It won't take you long. It'll be great. Okay. Well, again, thank you. Thank you for listening. I definitely hope it was helpful. I prayed throughout the week that it was helpful for y'all, and I hope that next week will be as well. So let me close this out, and then we'll get to our small groups. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you're an awesome King, one who gives. Ultimately, you gave us the ultimate example of giving when you gave us Jesus, and he has given us such an awesome challenge and a command, actually, to all of us who believe in him, that we should give our money in a way that honors you and that really furthers your kingdom as we're here on earth. And we praise you for the promises that go with that, Lord, that you will reward us, is what you say. And we just thank you for your word to guide us. And just thank you for Brandon and his desire to help everyone here tonight, just how to get their life started on the right track with their finances, Lord. We know it's a big part of everybody's life. And we just thank you for the opportunity we get tonight to go over some of these very practical things. And we just pray that the music we sing now would honor you. And we thank you again for tonight. And it's in your son's name we pray. Amen.